out of 9 instructions that Sri Rama gave to Shabari on how to cultivate pure devotion to God, we are in the last one, last but one, 8. There are 9 instructions he gave. 8D, tranquility of the mind and other similar disciplines to prepare the mind for spiritual inquiry and practice of devotion. First one, there are 6 of these disciplines. Shama, tranquility of the mind, trying to remain calm as possible in the midst of all disturbing circumstances inevitable in life. Second one is Dhamma, trying to keep under control the roving senses, the sense organs, of which there are 10, 5 sense organs of perception, 5 of action. They have this natural tendency to constantly go out and seek contact with sense objects outside, hoping that such contact will bring pleasure. Sometimes such contact brings pleasure. Sometimes the same contact with the same sense object brings pain. So we have discussed that earlier. Third discipline is Uparati, which means withdrawing the mind from the constant, from its consistent engagement with sense objects and making it go inward, look inward. You're always looking outward, looking at the world outside, who is doing what is happening in other countries, in other galaxies. But we don't know what's happening right within us, right in our hearts. So Uparati means reversing the focus of the mind from its outgoing tendency and making it dwell on the center of our personality, which is the spiritual core. Our whole personality, which we see outside, human personality, body, etc., mind, etc., they are the outermost shells around a core, which is this essential part of us, that is the spiritual core, that's the same in all. So we don't accept that, we examine everything else and worry about everything else. So Uparati means reversing that tendency of the mind. The tendency of the mind is always to go outside and seek contact with sense objects and know what is happening, and not paying any attention to the spiritual core of our personality. That has to be done. That is Uparati. The fourth discipline is Titiksha, or forbearance. In everybody's life, sometime or other, there is going to be adversity. There is going to be pain. That is inescapable. Human life means a mixture of pain and pleasure. No one can escape this and have only good time in all throughout all their lives. No one has been able to do it. So far from the beginning of creation, there is always going to be some pain, and there will be good times. That's the mixed nature of human life. When good things happen, we don't complain. Why am I so happy today? Nobody, you don't hear anybody complaining. Why, I'm so happy like this. But if we have a problem, then it is that we complain. Then we pray to God. Dukhme sumiran sab kare, sukhme kare na koi. When difficulty comes, then we turn to God, we complain to other people, we lament, oh, this happened. But when good things are happening, we are happy, no complaint. So Titiksha means remaining equanimous, equal-minded, equanimous, equipoised under all circumstances, pain or pleasure. Absorbing everything does not mean we should not take preventive measures, does not mean we should not take remedial measures when difficulties come. We have to do those things. But after taking all the preventive measures that we can and all the remedial measures that are available, if the problem still persists or some other problem comes, then we have to silently, calmly bear it without complaining, without brooding. And as you know, everything good and bad both have beginning and an end. These two shall pass, we can say. So that is the next discipline, Titiksha. Shamadama, Uparati, Titiksha, 4. Fifth one is Shraddha, loosely translated as faith. But faith here means a strong conviction based upon reasoning and understanding that there is a spiritual aspect of our personality. And the goal of life is to know that. We have two aspects to our personality. What we see outside, our body, mind, our speech, our property, work, possessions, everything. These are all the outer parts of our personality. They come and go, they change. But besides, behind this outer layer of layers of our personality, there is a spiritual core, which is the Lord himself. The presence of God is the spiritual core of our personality. Around his presence, this body, mind, everything is built. This is the one message that you see in all the scriptures, in the Upanishads, especially in the Bhagavad Gita. He, the Lord, in whatever way you want to think of him or conceive of him, is the core of our personality. Same one God present in all, equally. Not more in some, not less in others. Always, whether we are aware of his presence or not, whether we care for his presence or not, whether we do anything to know his presence or not, it's immaterial. Regardless of all these things, the Lord is present, always. That is the message of the Upanishads and the Gita and the scriptures, and that is the foundation for all our Vedantic system of thinking, our behavior, our values, our culture, our art, music, dance, architecture, everything. It has that as the underlying principle, though we don't see it always manifested in the superstructure of what we activities that we see outside. That is the key, and we have to know that. If we spend our whole lifetime at the superficial level, body-mind level, then it's a total wastage of human potential. Enormous potential, infinite potential is there in each one of us because he is there. But we use a fraction of that during our lifetime. So that should not be. We have to somehow establish a connection with that spiritual core, feel its presence, experience it. Then that is the way to the ultimate beatitude. We can call it by any other name, moksha, salvation, liberation, emancipation, freedom, whatever. But it has to go through the spiritual core. We have to touch base with it, contact with it, know it, and experience its presence. And to that, we have to start with a certain hypothesis that there is such a spiritual core. If you totally deny it, oh yeah, the body itself is an ultimate thing. If the body dies, nothing is left. Why worry about something which you cannot see, no one has seen? It's written in ancient books. We can dismiss that. It's possible to dismiss the existence of a spiritual core in us. It's easy to do that one. But our scriptures and our teachers over many centuries and millennia, not only in India and other countries too, they have emphasized that there is a spiritual dimension to our personality, and we have to know that. That is our true nature. That is infinite. That is eternal. We have to know that. We are that. Tattvamasi Upanishad says. That's the word Upanishad says. To spend the whole lifetime under the total misapprehension that I am only the body, I am only the mind. When the body, mind perishes, they are bound to perish someday. Nothing is left. That's a very, very limited and erroneous view of human life and potential. So Shraddha means we have to start with the hypothesis that there is such a thing beyond the visible part of our personality, and that's our true nature. We have to know that. We have to start somewhere. What's the starting point? What gives us that hypothesis? Two things. The scriptures, especially the Upanishads and the Gita, and also the Bible and other scriptures, we speak about the presence of God within every personality. And first of all, scriptures. But scriptures are only secondary information, what other people experience, other saints experience. Second level of proof, motivation, is the words of the holy people with whom we can contact. Holy people just say this, I have seen there is such a thing And then you too can experience that presence of that God. You may call it God for convenience, Atman in the Upanishad. It does not matter by what name you call it. There is such a thing, a spiritual part, dimension of your personality. And you have to know that, you have to experience it. That's the goal of human life. That's the goal of human life. Why are we born with this extraordinary human personality, enormous potential? People achieve great, great things. What do we do with it? How do we use it? For what purpose? What, there must be an ultimate goal. And it is to know ourself. Know thyself, says the dictum. That is the starting point. That is that discipline of starting this quest for spiritual knowledge, spiritual experience, on the basis of a hypothesis that there is such a presence of God within us. That is called Shraddha, that conviction we have to have. That gives us the motivation, starting point for our quest. If we totally disregard that, spend all our life in only at the material level, physical level, then it is an enormous waste of an enormous potential, infinite potential is within us. Swamiji says, each soul is potentially divine. If it is potentially, if you are divine, if all of us are divine, then we have to know that divinity. We have to know that divinity. Being born as human beings, being endowed with all these fantastic faculties that we are endowed with. For what purpose do we use it? Just to make a livelihood? That is terrible waste of the human mind, of the human personality. So Shraddha means that starting conviction that there is such a thing and I have to find it, I have to know it. The last of these six disciplines is what we are going to consider today, which you could not complete last time. It's called Samadhanam. Samadhanam is defined in the Viveka Chudamani by Shankara in this way. I'll skip this Sanskrit. Samadhanam is the constant concentration of the intellect, buddhi, on the ever pure supreme reality, Brahman, present within each one of us. Indulgence of the mind in pleasant thoughts and preoccupations, pleasurable thoughts and pleasurable preoccupations, is not the right thing to do. We have to recognize its presence, even indirectly, based upon what other sages have said, what the scriptures have said. And then we have to proceed with some degree of conviction that I have to experience it. That's the important thing to be achieved in this life. That is Samadhan. Constantly keeping in focus that goal, not forgetting that one. To achieve this one, we have to choose one method, one path, and stick to it. Sri Ramakrishna says, if you want to dig a well to get water, you have to be persistent in your effort in one place. Some people start a project. After a few weeks or months, they don't lose interest in it. It does not show any spectacular result as they expected. Then they leave it and start something else. Like digging a well in one place, you dig about 6 feet, you encounter a rock or sand, then you abandon it and dig in some other place. Then again, same thing happens, you abandon it and dig in some other place. You will never reach water. You have to persist. Even if obstructions come, we have to persist and then we'll find water. One place, one method. That is focusing our entire personality, the resources we have, especially mind and body, to achieve that one goal. Focusing on the, concentrating on the goal, never losing sight of the goal. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? I have to know God. I have to know myself. I can do other things with enormous potential is there, we can do other things. We don't have to do only that. We can succeed in worldly endeavors. We should not limit ourselves. Do everything, but this is the main goal. I will never lose sight of the goal. That carrot must be hanging in front of us always, driving us. We have to travel towards that one. That discipline is called Samadhanam. Stick to one path. Some people try various ashramas and organizations. And first they try to Sufi, then they go to Hare Krishna for a few months, then they become tired of that. Then they go to Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, and then they don't like it after a few months. Then they go to Arya Samaj, and they're not interesting. And like this, they keep on changing every few months, but not sticking to one. So energy is frittered away. We have to focus. We have to work with concentration, with focus, one goal. And towards that one goal, we have to drive. Channelize all our energies and resources, and our time is limited. When old age comes, we cannot do anything. We have to do it when we are still able to do things. And that stage of our life passes very rapidly, very fast. Suddenly we find ourselves middle-aged, and the next day we are finding ourselves old. So time is precious. We have to use our time wisely to reach that goal, keep that goal constantly in our mind. You should never lose sight of the goal. That constant focus on the goal of life, which is to know the self, is called samadhanam. There are so many other distractions that attract our attention, so we should not yield to those distractions. If you are driving long distance from, say, Washington, Silver Spring, Maryland, to Chicago or Pittsburgh somewhere, you come across so many exits, so many signs, so many McDonald's signs, some blue sign called attractions. Every time you see an attractions blue sign, you stop there, take the exit, some museum is there, some amusement park is there, some something else is there, and spend a day there. And when will you reach the goal? We have to disregard the sideshows and attractions and just go towards the goal with focus. You see this trait in the life of all very successful people. If you study the life of any successful person in any field of human endeavor, sports or athletics or knowledge or science or whatever, they reach great heights. How did they reach that one? Focusing, not wasting, frittering away energy in unnecessary things. They appear very attractive, but we should say no to distractions, however attractive it may be. And keep the focus in mind constantly. This is what I want to do. Other things I will do as much as is necessary. But this one I want to achieve in this life. That focusing on the goal is samadhanam. That completes the eighth discipline, eighth instruction that Sri Rama gave. One more instruction is remaining, last one, nine instructions he gave. The last one is, if you need a page of all containing all the nine instructions, I can give you, I have some copies. The ninth one, last one is inquiry into the nature of reality. Tattva vicharo mama navamam sadhanam smritam navam sadhanam. Ninth discipline, last one, that Sri Rama explains to Shabari is inquiring into the true nature of reality. The whole world, our whole personality, every aspect of our personality is constantly changing. Everything in this world is constantly changing, some rapidly, some slowly. That's why this world is called Jagat. Jagat means that which is going, that which is moving. Now, we can infer, by observing the changing things around us, we can infer the presence of an unchanging bedrock, an unchanging substrate. If anything is changing, how do we measure change? In science, we measure change of any quality in relation to something which is not changing or which is changing less rapidly. How do you know the train is moving? Because in relation to the earth, the train is moving. Earth is constant. But earth itself is moving in relation to the sun. The sun itself is moving in relation to other solar systems. So if we keep on searching like this, ultimately we have to reach a point where we come across something which is not moving at all, which is not changing at all. That unchanging substratum of the whole of creation is what we call God. Everything else changes. He does not change. He or she, however, we want to visualize God. That does not change. That is changeless. Nirvikara, nirvikalpa. These are the epithets used in the Upanishads and the Gita. That which does not change. That is the basis, foundation, substratum of everything, that of the whole universe. Whole universe is changing. Everything in it is changing. So the unchanging, eternal, infinite substratum serving as the foundation and support for this whole universe, that we have to know its name. What is it? What is it? We have to know. Inquiry into the nature of reality, tattva vichara. Now, to understand more about what this inquiry into the nature of reality is, we go to other scriptures and the teachings of other saints. See, Sri Rama, when he spoke to Shabari, simply listed the 9 disciplines. He did not explain anything, though many of them require some explanation. He did not give any explanation. He simply made a list, told to Shabari, these are the things one has to practice in order to achieve, pure devotion to God. That was very brief teaching. It only took a few minutes for him to say that. Now we have to understand the details, how to go about doing these 9 things. After doing all these 9 things, the 9th one we are going to do now, something very interesting happens that we will do in the next meeting. Sri Rama says something. After saying these 9 things, he slips in something, one simple thing, which alters the whole picture. And if you are somewhat overwhelmed by looking at this list, how these 9 things, how can they do all the spiritual talk, devotional singing, study of teachings of the Lord, serving teachers, seeing God in his presence, leading virtuous life, practice of Yama Niyama, daily worship, japa, meditation. 9 things are there. How can anybody do these 9 things? Where is the time? Where is the ability to do? We have to take care of our bodies and our families too. We can't be always doing 24 hours spiritual practice. So it is overwhelming, list of 9 things. But wait until next time when Sri Rama gives something totally different. Not different, something it makes it within the reach of everybody. Everybody can do it. There's a simple... before I say that one, I have to finish the 9th one. 9th one is inquiry into that. One more thing is remaining. After that, we'll go to the... And that's the conclusion of this series. So, it's in the Adhyatma Ramayana. Actually, it may be there in your handout. I'll read the lines from the original Adhyatma Ramayana next time. And that makes everything accessible for everyone. There's no need to be overwhelmed. We have to go through the list because he gave the list to her. But then we have the question, how can anybody do these 9 things? But he says there is a simpler way. One only thing has to be done. And that he points out. It's not something unknown to you. We already know it. Sri Ramakrishna says again and again. See, all the teachers say the same thing in different ways. What the Upanishads say is same as what Sri Krishna says in the Gita, is same as what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, is same as what Sri Ramakrishna says, Swami Vivekananda says, Sri Rama says. They say the same thing, but they make it look different. They make it more interesting because the message is designed to the audience in front of them. He was talking to Shabari. She was not interested in scholarship. She was a very practical woman. She wanted to know, tell me something that I have to do. That's it. I don't want the philosophy and all these details. Just tell me what I have to do. That's what we are interested in. So we'll finish this. The 9th one. 9th one is... Mama Tattva Vicharaha. This is one exhortation we find in all the scriptures. Tadvidhi, the Gita 4th chapter, Sri Krishna says, Tadvidhi, know that. That means, they don't say what it is. They simply use the word pronoun that, tat. That means something which cannot be described. We refer to it only with a pronoun. In the Upanishad, it's called Brahman or Atman. In devotional scriptures called God, and then more specifically some aspect of the divine like Rama or Krishna or some other personality in which we, towards which we have devotion, Durga, Saraswati, Kali, whatever. But in the Upanishad, it doesn't say any name at all. It simply uses the pronoun tat. Gita also uses tat. 4th chapter, I think, is verse 34. Tadvidhi, know that ultimate reality. What Sri Rama said to Shabari, Sri Krishna said to Arjuna. Know that. tadvidhi. How? He gives three methods. Rama gives 9 methods, Sri Krishna gives only 3 methods. Pranipatena pariprashtena sevaya. Pranipata means doing complete prostration, indicating our surrender and humility to in front of the teacher. Pariprashna means sincere, persistent inquiry. The inquiry must be persistent. We should not be half-hearted in our inquiry. We have to have full faith in the validity of our search for the ultimate reality, and we have to be persistent in our effort. Persistence, pranipatena, pariprashnena. So third thing we have to do according to Krishna is sevaya. Seva means personal service to the teacher. Some time ago I told the story of Totaka, one of the 4 disciples of Shankaracharya, major disciples, well-known disciples of Shankaracharya, who was not a scholar by inclination. Other disciples like Padmapada, Sureshwara, they were scholars. But Totaka was a very humble devotee, just like Swami Adbhutananda, Lattu Maharaj. Totaka reminds me of Lattu Maharaj. Lattu Maharaj did not study scriptures. Swami Abhedananda, Shashi Maharaj, Swamiji, they all into the scriptures and philosophy and discussion. Lattu Maharaj, no, none of those things. What Sri Krishna, so what Sri Ramakrishna said, he did that with total obedience. And very simple. Sri Ramakrishna said, meditate like this, meditate like that. That's it. No questions, no if, no but. Got the result. Got all knowledge from within through tapas, through austerity. There are 2 ways to get knowledge. One is through study of books, ordinarily, so many scriptures, studying commentary, Gita commentary, Shankara commentary, Ramanuja commentary, some other commentary, comparing. That kind of scholarship is one way. But the other way is what Lattu Maharaj said. What Maharaj did. No study of any book. No worrying about scholarship and quoting scriptures and everything. Just follow the instruction of the Guru. Simple, 1 or 2 instructions Sri Ramakrishna gave. He followed sincerely, diligently, all his life, became a great saint. At the end of his life, when the last few years he spent in Varanasi, very humble, simple person, illiterate person, great scholars of Vedanta. Varanasi is center of learning. Even now it is in the north. Those scholars, when they had a question they could not resolve, they would go to Lattu Maharaj seeking clarification from this person who never studied any book. And from his own experience and insight, he would say, this is the way to understand it. So knowledge can come without the medium of books. Books, study of books is one way. But more direct way to gain knowledge, as is described in the Taittiriya Upanishad, best way to get knowledge is by meditation. There was a famous teacher, Varuna. Varuna was a great sage, and his son's name was Bhrigu. Taittiriya Upanishad story. I'll make it very short. It's an interesting story. Bhrigu became curious to know about Brahman. He wanted to know, have self-knowledge. So he goes to his father. Father, teach me about Brahman, he says. Varuna says, do meditation. Tapasa brahma vijajnasasva. By tapas, tapas means austerity. Austerity in the Upanishadic context means not fasting and doing like that. Austerity in the Upanishadic context means inquiry and meditation. Inquiry, reasoning, reflection and meditation. That sequence. Hearing, reflection, meditation. That is referred to as tapas in the Upanishads. Go back and do tapas, deep meditation and inquiry and reasoning and reflection. You will know Brahman. He did not give a lecture, Brahman is like this, Brahman is like that. No lecture. Go back and do meditation, tapas, you will know Brahman. So Bhrigu goes again and again, 5-6 times. Every time he goes, meditates, comes to some conclusion through meditation. He goes back to his father to check whether his understanding is correct or not. Father, this is what I understand by Brahman. Is it so? Go back and do more meditation, father says. He doesn't say any explanation. Father says, go back and do more meditation. So, Bhrigu goes back, meditates for a long time, comes to some better understanding, higher, lower truth to higher truth, as Swamiji said. Goes back to his father. Father, this is what I understand as Brahman. Is it true? Is it correct? Father says, go back and do more meditation. Every time the same reply. 5-6 times this happened. Like it happened to Narada also in the Chandogya Upanishad. And finally, when he, by through sheer meditation, meditation requires purity of life, all those prerequisites are there. Then he got the understanding came from within. Knowledge is already there, locked within each one. As Swamiji says, education is the process of manifesting the knowledge already within each one of us. It doesn't have to come from outside. We can't pump knowledge from outside. We can pump facts from outside, details, numbers. But knowledge has to unfold itself from within. And the best way to unfold, uncover the knowledge hidden within each one of us, infinite knowledge hidden within each one of us, is through reflection, meditation, after purifying the personality, making the mind fit for meditation. So this is the exhortation. Know the self. Atmanam mai vijanatha anya vacha nimunchata. A famous sentence from the Mundaka Upanishad, Swamiji quoted in his lecture. The Upanishad says, don't waste your time, precious little time. Our time on this earth is limited. We don't have unlimited time. Because even if we live for 80, 90 years, how many of those years are really available for serious spiritual practice? First age is all gone in childhood. We don't even know. Interested in play only. Balastavat kridasattaha. Child's whole life, whole time is spent in play. Going to primary school, learning A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then old age, you can safely dismiss it. You can't do much serious spiritual practice. In between, we have a window of a few years. We have to capitalize. We have to use that limited time available. Anya vacha vimunchata Upanishad says. Mundaka Upanishad. Give up all unnecessary preoccupations with worldly matters. Do what is required for a decent living, which we need. But then simply wasting time in this and that, so many hobbies, so many recreation, all kinds of recreation, like Michael Vick did, the dog fighting, all those things, waste of time. Also creates a lot of trouble. So that anya vacha vimunchata, give up all unnecessary talk and focus your attention on atmanam mai vijanatha, know the atman alone. Know the self alone. Focus all your energy, attention, time towards knowing that one, reaching that one goal of knowing our divine self within us. That is the exhortation. That's what Sri Ramachandra said to Shabari. Inquire into my true nature. Mama tatta vicharaha. So in the Chandogya Upanishad, we'll skip it because it is repetitive. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, same exhortation. You have heard the story of Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi. Swami Yogatmanaji gave a retreat some years ago, the New Windsor Retreat Center, on the story of Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi. And it has come so many times in our other discussions also. Yajnavalkya was a great scholar, one of the greatest scholars of all time in the Upanishad. One of the greatest scholars of all time. Giant spiritual personality. He had two wives. He was a householder. Householders can also achieve Godhead knowledge. There's no rule that they cannot. You don't have to become a sannyasi or a monk. Being a householder, you can be a brahmajnani, like Janaka was. Janaka had a whole kingdom. Why be limited to one little family? Have a whole kingdom. At the same time, you can be a brahmajnani, knower of the ultimate reality. So Yajnavalkya was like that. We had two wives, Maitreyi Katyayini. And about middle age, one day he decided that I will retire to the forest, as was the practice those days, and spend all my time knowing God, practicing spiritual disciplines. Vanaprastha Ashrama, we used to call it. So he decided, the time has come for me to retire from active worldly life, debating, scholarly debates and traveling, teaching, etc., and retire to the forest and lead a quiet life, contemplative life, total contemplation. I want to do that. He asks his wife, do you like to come with me or do you like to stay back and take care of the property? He had amassed a lot of property. He was a great scholar, good in debate, defeated many great scholars. And every time he defeated somebody, he would get a prize. The prize those days was, reward was gold coins and cattle, cows. How many heads of cows? He had a lot of cows. And so many gold coins he had accumulated, wealth. And house was there. So he gives this option to his two wives. If you like, you can stay back and take care of these property possessions and lead a comfortable life. Or if you want to come with me to the forest, you can come, but there will be no such luxury there. You have to live in a simple life in a hermitage, and I will be only talking about God and Atman or self, but no other worldly preoccupations, no comfort. Which do you prefer? The second wife, Katyayani, quickly made a decision. She said, I will stay back. I don't want to go to the forest and struggle with you in the hermitage. All the wild animals are there and no running hot water, nothing, no such thing, no air conditioning. I will stay back here. You go. I'll be happy. So no question, no discussion. She decided and Yajnavalkya agreed, yes, this is all yours. He asked the first wife, Maitreyi, what is your choice? She could not make a decision quickly. She asked, supposing I stay back and take care of the house and property and the cattle and keep the gold coins, what will I get? Husband Yajnavalkya says, if you keep the property and keep all the gold coins and cattle and everything, you will have a very comfortable life, like any rich person. Your life will be comfortable. You can hire servants if you want. But if I come, go with you, what will I get? She asks, she wants to know before making a decision. What are the benefits in each path? If you come with me, you will have none of these comforts, but you will have knowledge of the self. Then she thinks for a while, I will go with you. And she asks him again, if I keep all this property, all these things, what is the benefit I get? No special, you will be comfortable and one day you will die. But if I go with you, what benefit I get? You will get immortality, amurtatvam. Then she will ask, if I stay back and take care of the house and property, will I get immortality, amurtatvam? He said, no. Very famous sentence in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. If we did a very successful, wealthy, earthly life, worldly life, you will get all the comforts. You can buy many things, be comfortable, but you will not get knowledge of the self. You will not get immortality. You will be a limited human being. Then one day, body will die. Then there may be a rebirth, whatever happens, we don't know. But if I go with you, what will I get? Immortality. Knowledge of Brahman is immortal. You become immortal. Not body, but you become one with the immortal Brahman. I will go with you. She decided. She repaired to the forest. Then he teaches us. First thing he teaches Maitreyi when they reach the forest hermitage is, Yajnavalkya says, this self which is within each one of us, this self, my dear Maitreyi, should be realized. That's the goal of life. Should be realized. It should be heard of from a qualified teacher, Sravanam, hearing from a qualified teacher. It should be reflected upon. You should reflect on it. From what we hear, the lectures you hear here, you have to go back and reflect. Otherwise, it will evaporate. Reflection. Reflection must be followed by meditation. Sravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. If you do these things, if you hear about the immortal nature of our divine life, of divinity within, if you reflect on it deeply, calmly, keeping aside worldly preoccupations, and if you meditate on it deeply, persistently for a long time, then through hearing, reflection, meditation, you will know the entire truth. You will know the immortal. That's the way to immortality. That is why Sri Rama says to Shabari, after saying all the eight instructions, ninth instruction is Mama Tattva Vicharaha. Inquire into the nature of reality. Mama means mine. means we can change the question a little bit. Instead of saying what is reality, which sounds so impersonal, remote, you can say, what is God? I want to know God. There's a very nice book written by Swami Prabhavananda. The title of the book is How to Know God. Many of you have seen it. It's Patanjali Yoga Sutras, but he gave this very captivating title, How to Know God. When you see the title of the book, oh, I want to know how to know God. I want to buy the book. But when you buy the book and start reading it, nothing but Patanjali Yoga Sutras, which many of you studied with Atma Gyanandaji. So how to know God? We have to know. Without knowing that, no matter what else you achieve, how successful we are in worldly life, affluent we become in a worldly life, our full potential will not have been used. You will not have reached the ultimate goal of life, highest goal of life. So that was the last instruction Sri Rama gave. Inquiry into nature of reality, mama tattva vicharaha. Then after giving all these 9 instructions and the concluding instruction which we'll study next time, Shabari is ready. She says, the story continues. I'll continue the next 2 steps of Rama's life in the forest next time. And then he proceeds in his search for Sita. He went to Shabari Ashrama looking for Sita. He went to many, many places in the forest, not knowing where Sita is. Sita was missing from the monastery, from the hermitage. Hermitage, not monastery. When he went back, Lakshmana didn't know where Sita was. Rama did not know where Sita was. She is the princess. Now they became worried. Rama became extremely sad. Sita is missing in the forest. Where do you look for her? In the huge forest. Wild animals and everything. Then going from place to place, from clue to clue, finally reaches Shabari's ashrama. Shabari gives him the next step for Rama to do. Rama asks, now that I have given you some instruction, do you know, my revered lady, anything about the whereabouts of my Sita? Shabari says, a very important clue. Essential, crucial chain in the chain of events that led ultimately Rama to discover Sita with the help of Hanuman. The story continues. If Shabari had not provided that one essential link, it would have been very difficult for Rama to find the location of Sita. The story continues. We'll study all of that next time. That will be the concluding part of this series. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from diseases, may all realize what is auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om Peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. And peace be everywhere in nature. Hari Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.